Good morning, North Shore Baptist Church. The text for today's sermon is Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. The excellent wife, the virtuous woman, and the title of today's sermon is, Where is Your Heart? When I first put this sermon together, just a side note before I start this, I had notes for 2.5 hours of a sermon. There is so much here and it's so rich, I had no idea until I studied this. And of course, my wife being the excellent wife she is, she says, no. I got veto right away. So it's, you know, I figured second service, there's no really hard stop time, but yeah. So anyway, this is the passage for today, but let us pray. We are so grateful to be in your church today and to be among your people and to worship you today. Help me not to rely on myself and my own understanding when I deliver your message, but help me to be faithful to your word and what you want me to say today and how you want me to speak. Speak to us clearly and powerfully through your word. And I pray for conviction and encouragement as we look through your word today. And may these words bring glory to your holy name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This passage is so important for us today because you know as well as I do that we live in a culture that has largely abandoned the biblical understanding of womanhood. There's been a push within our culture over the last few decades to erase the God-given distinctions between men and women. My purpose today is to prevent this culture from creeping into this church and to provide a biblical understanding of what it is to be a godly woman and what it is for single men to find a godly woman. And it's obvious from Scripture that God has uniquely designed men and women with different roles. And ladies, God has given you an extremely high calling of being a wife, a mother, and a homemaker. These are not demeaning roles, despite what our culture is telling us. In order for marriage to be successful, it has to be what God is requiring it to be. And husbands must be what God requires men to be, and wives must be what God requires women to be. After all, God is the one that created marriage. So he is the one that gets to decide how marriage is going to work. God is telling me how to be a godly husband. And in today's passage, God is telling ladies how to be a godly woman. And how you do that is so important. There are women out there who do it well, and there are women who do not. The book of Proverbs details for us two types of women. One who builds up her home, and one who tears it down with her own hands. Proverbs 14, verse 1 says, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands." The foolish woman actually destroys her own house, and she tears it down with her words and her attitudes and her actions and her selfishness, her anger and her pride, but not the woman you find in Proverbs 31. This woman, Proverbs 31, is exactly the opposite of this. She builds her house. So the question I have for you this morning is this: where is your heart? We have before us today the excellent wife, also known as the virtuous woman. And she is a model for all women of all ages. Let's look at what she's like this morning and follow along as I read verses 10 through 31. This is the description of the excellent wife. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant, and she brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. This is important. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruits of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Now, I want to say a few things this morning before we get into this passage that's so important for us to understand. First, I want to briefly go up to verse 1. And it says, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. Now, 2 weeks ago, Eric Kim explained what we don't know about King Lemuel. So I want to briefly look at the second half of this verse, an oracle that his mother taught him. Regardless of who this individual was, these are the words of a mother to her son. She's praying for her son's future wife. It was his mother who, in a very unique way, instructed him concerning what he ought to look for in a worthy wife. In other words, this is not a man's description of a godly woman. This is a woman's description of a godly woman. But ultimately, it is God instructing women how to be a godly, excellent woman and instructing men to find this godly, excellent woman. The second thing I want you to notice here is that there are 22 verses between verses 10 and verses 31. And although you cannot see it in English, this is an alphabetic poem. Each of the 22 verses in the original Hebrew begins with a subsequent letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If it were in English, it would go something like A is for attentive, B is for busy, C is for caring. This is a way that the writer put this together to help us understand and help us to remember. It would get stuck in our head like a song gets stuck in our head. It's meant to sit on our hearts. It's meant to enable you to remember what it means to be an excellent woman or to look for an excellent woman. And ladies, before I dive into this, I need to say something that's very, very important. I know that many women have read this passage and come away discouraged, and they feel like this is an impossible high standard that no one could ever meet, that there's a woman out there that's a wife and a mother, a businesswoman, a seamstress, an investor, a farmer. She does all kinds of things, and she does everything so well. And many women read this passage, and they say, this is impossible. I will never be this woman, and they actually leave discouraged. And I want to alleviate some of you of these fears, because this is not given to us as an absolute standard by which every woman should be measured. And I don't think the intent of this passage is to say that if you're going to be a godly woman, you must do each of these things. But I do think that the intent of this passage is to provide us with a model of the characteristics and virtues of this godly woman. A woman of character, a woman who understands her priorities, a woman who has grasped the fact that she is to be a woman after God's own heart. And that's the issue. So it's not your goal to be this woman in every single detail. She's a model of the traits and characters of the kind of woman that God expects you to be. If we're attempting to reproduce this woman in a one-to-one parallel, we're going to go back to a cultural setting that is completely foreign to us. God will show you your particular gifts and will direct you on how to use your gifts to become an excellent wife, mother, and homemaker. So don't be discouraged when reading this passage. This is not a competition. She's not the biblical standard whom women are commanded to emulate, but she's a friend pointing you to the truth. God makes it clear through the excellent wife that what he values isn't a woman's numerous abilities, but a heart that's fully fixed on him. So where is your heart? Now, don't tune me out today if you're a man or if you're a single woman. Ladies, you're all called to be a Proverbs 31 woman, whether you're married or not. Ladies, I want you to listen today because these are the qualities that you want to aspire to, the type of qualities that God wants you to have, whether you're married or not. And by the way, the Hebrew phrase that's translated excellent wife or virtuous woman, depending on the translation, in Proverbs 31:10 occurs just one other time in Scripture. And this woman was neither a wife nor a mother when she hears these words from Boaz in Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. All the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. So yes, you can be a virtuous woman, an excellent woman, even if you're not a wife or a mother. And husbands, a word to you. This is not just about women, it's about you too. This is not a list of qualities that you measure your wife up to and point out where she's failing. This is meant for you to encourage your wives in the areas where she's excelling. So husbands, encourage your wives. Single men, these are the qualities that ought to frame your understanding of what makes a potential excellent wife. This is what you must aim for. This is the heart of the woman that should attract your affection. The Proverbs 31 woman is looking for a godly man who will encourage her to be this woman. So this morning, we're going to look at five aspects of the life of this woman that's described here as the excellent wife. And the first part we're going to be looking at today is her married life. In verses 10 through 12. And the first thing that writer does here is it gives us a glimpse into how she and her husband relate to each other. Notice verse 10. It says, an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. This woman is rare. She is worth more than a pile of precious jewels. She's immensely valued, especially by her husband. I am so thankful that God created my wife. And Proverbs 31 makes a very important point that few women are really fulfilling God's description of what a wife should be. Soon after Elaine and I met, she asked me, what was I looking for in a wife? And I answered her and I said, I'm looking for a wife who understands what it is to be this woman in Proverbs 31. But she demonstrated that to me. And 3 months later, we are engaged. And to this day, she's still demonstrating that to me. Let's look at verse 11. Lemuel writes, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he shall have no lack of gain. The virtue that's being highlighted here is a virtue of a trustworthy character that enables her husband to fully trust in her and to be confident in her. And I love this description because it tells how her husband benefits from her godliness. The heart of her husband trusts in her. He's fully confident in her. In other words, the husband of the Proverbs 31 woman doesn't have any reason to be questioning her or to be suspicious of her. He doesn't need to keep track of where she's going or who she's talking to or what she's saying about him. He doesn't have to worry about how she's spending the money. An ungodly wife is one that humiliates and harasses her husband. She makes her husband miserable. She brings him harm. The excellent wife does not do that. Notice the end of verse 11. And he will have no lack of gain. He is blessed by her. Where is your heart? Because of her integrity, her courage, and her strength of character brings back blessings upon him and their family. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil, all the days of her life. This is why this woman is an asset to her husband, because she does him good. She is a huge blessing to him. She is committed to caring for him and their family. In other words, they have a sweet marriage, and they have a sweet marriage in no small part because of her. This is a character trait that without it, all the others would be relatively meaningless. If she was unpredictable or unstable, how in the world could her husband safely trust in her? And she faces many choices in her marriage, and she can either build it up or she can tear it down. She can either encourage him or she can hold him back. She can either speak well of him or she can belittle him. She understands that the accumulation of all these small choices creates the atmosphere of their marriage. He trusts her implicitly because of her character. That kind of trustworthy character is the character that is formed by a woman who anchors herself in the Word of God. She's predictably trustworthy. Number two is her home life. If we're really going to understand this excellent wife, we need to understand her home life. Verses 13 through 24, we're going to discover an excellent wife is committed to her home. Her single priority, her primary place of ministry is her home. She has a heart for her home. Where is your heart? In fact, I want you to notice a few things before we dive into this section. I want you to notice that four times in these verses, there's a statement about her household. Verse 15, it says, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. Skip down to verse 21. The word household occurs twice in this verse. She's not afraid of the snow for her household are clothed in scarlet. Now skip down to verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household. This excellent wife understands that her primary area of responsibility is her home, and all that she does, all her activities, all her energy goes into her household. She's a busy woman, and she's doing it all for her family. So now let's go through these verses. And don't get hung up on each specific activity. Remember, she is demonstrating virtues. This is not meant to be a one-to-one comparison. So let's get the overall picture of what is being said here about her character. And notice her commitment to her family. Let's look at verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. Wool and flax were the raw materials necessary for making clothes. And she was out gathering that necessary material to care for her family. She was out making judgments about the quality of the material. She's out making judgments about a fair price. Today, that means that she's organized and knows what she needs to buy and where she needs to buy it to get the best price. She finds the sales. Verse 14. She is like the ships of a merchant. She brings her food from afar. She knows how to feed her family well, and she's out scouring the area for the best food to make sure her family is well fed. Her family isn't hungry, and they don't lack anything. There were so many times during COVID that Elaine drove to grocery stores all over Long Island because they had more food. She made sure we were all well fed, if you can see. Verse 15. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She is awake, helping to prepare breakfast and food for all the other meals. She doesn't just lie in bed and hope that her kids can find something in the cabinets. She's diligently preparing for the day. Remember, we're talking here about a queen that's describing this to her son. She could have easily had others do this for her, but she assumes responsibility for her own family. Verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruits of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She's buying and selling things. She's trusted to make good decisions and get a good deal on a price of real estate. She considers a field and buys it, and her husband's not even there to overrule her because he trusts in her. Could you imagine the conversation that night over the dinner table? Well, what'd you do today? Oh, not much. I bought some land and planted a garden. Okay, sounds good. There it is. He trusted her. Why? Because she has proven herself to be trustworthy when caring for her family. She's been given a lot of leeway regarding her financial responsibility by her husband because he knows that she has a godly perspective concerning money, and the heart of her husband trusts in her. Practically speaking, she does the research to find the best cars and apartments and houses and hotels and airline tickets and many more things that I cannot even begin to list. I've watched Lane do this almost on a daily basis. I don't even have to think about it because I know that she's done the research. And anybody that knows Elaine knows that she has a spreadsheet on everything to prove it. Verse 17. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Now, I don't think this means that she went to Planet Fitness, but it just means that she's not afraid of hard work. She's diligent and energetic. She's there when the work needs to get done, and she has a healthy attitude toward work. And she has the stamina to work alongside her husband to keep up with the needs of her family. If this is Solomon writing this passage, then he is practicing what he is preaching. In Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6, the Shulamith woman that he fell in love with describes herself this way. Do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. She was darkened from the sun for work because she was working outside in the vineyard. And dark skin was a symbol of hard work. And she compared her dark complexion to the young women of Jerusalem and wonders how Solomon could have ever chosen her. Pale skin was highly valued. It was a sign of wealth and beauty. And King Solomon chose this hard-working woman over all the outwardly beautiful pale-skinned women of Jerusalem. Solomon knew that the pigment of the skin was of no importance whatsoever. The condition of the heart is the most important matter. Where is your heart? Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. Because the Proverbs 31 woman is strong and works hard, she knows what she is doing is a good and profitable thing. Keeping the lamp lit implies planning to keep it burning all night. This was part of a lesson of one of Jesus' parables about the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. Diligence means planning to ensure your family's needs are met. If a lamp goes out at night, it results in complete darkness. The godly woman looked ahead. She organized and planned her day so her family is supplied and cared for even during hard times. Verse 19. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. These are the tools for making clothes. She knows how to work them, and she's able to build things and make things for her family. The point is, she makes sure everyone is clothed properly and looks good. Now, whether you realize it or not, Elaine does a final inspection of me every day before I leave the house. And she does it especially every Sunday. And I know many of you comment on my ties and you like the colors of my shirts, but I can't take credit for any of this. Remember, I was in the military for 20 years, and I wore the same thing every single day. Monday through Friday, I didn't know how to wear anything else. This was it. Elaine picks out my clothes, otherwise I'll be a hot, this is what I'd be wearing. I'd be a hot mess. She makes sure I look good before I ever leave the house. Verse 20. Not only does she care for her family, but she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hand to the needy. So she is not only concerned about her own family, but she's also concerned about meeting the needs of those around who are poor and needy. She's compassionate, kind, and generous. And some of the money that she's making on the side, she gives to other people who are in need. Verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for her household are clothed in scarlet. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. Why? Because she's not running around saying, oh no, it's a first snowfall, and all we have in the closet are our summer clothes. She's not running around in a frenzy. She's not afraid of the snow which periodically came in Palestine because she was prepared for it. She planned ahead. She did what she needed to do to protect her family from the cold. This is the way that she cares for them. And verse 22, she doesn't ignore herself either. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now, what is this bed covering? I was wondering that myself when I was studying this. What is this bed covering? Well, I found out that Solomon already used this exact same terminology in Proverbs chapter 7. And it refers to this married woman who seduces innocent young men. And now when she seduces them, notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloe, and cinnamon. The exact parallel phrase that's used in Proverbs 31:22. What she was attempting to do in Proverbs 7 was to seduce these young men with every single means of sight, sound, and smell. And the way that she's attempting to seduce him into her bed is by describing the attractive things associated with her bed. Bed coverings, as well as these certain smells. Now, the writer of Proverbs 31 finds the excellent wife doing what? Making her bed attractive for her husband with bed coverings. She's keeping the marriage bed attractive and welcoming for her husband. I bet you never expected to find this in Proverbs 31. Yes, the virtuous woman, the excellent wife, is seducing her husband. She's ministering to her husband. Furthermore, our text says that her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her clothing is attractive, and she looks good. She understands that godly modesty does not mean frumpiness. And what is frumpiness? That's frumpiness. Frumpiness is not caring about your appearance. You ever got that ingrained in your head? They both have fiancés that are doing okay. But frumpiness is not godliness. This excellent wife had a godly perspective concerning the virtue of her appearance. There is indeed a relationship between a husband's genuine pride of his wife and the way that she dresses. This godly woman knew that the way she dresses sends a message to her husband. He wasn't embarrassed of her when she showed up at the gate, as you'll see at the end of this chapter. It's possible to pay too little as well as too much attention to this point. Ladies, were you a frump when you met your husband? No, you weren't. You made sure you look good. Then don't be frumpy now. You defraud him with your frumpiness. It's a good thing to look good for your husband. Then notice verse 23. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Her husband is at the gates of the city and engaging in commerce with the elders of the land. He's in a position of respect. He's an honorable man, and he's a man of influence. He's there conducting business where business is normally transacted in that city. But he's there because she does what she does in the home so that he can do what he needs to do outside of the home. She manages and serves her home so well that she enables her husband to be a man of influence in the city. All that Elaine does to keep our house running enables me to do what God has called me to do at work and at church. And I am so grateful and so thankful for that. Verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. There she is again, making things and selling things. She's a busy woman. And remember, there were no cell phones back then to call a merchant and say, oh, I'm going to be 2 hours late. If she was late for an appointment, then she came home with a whole bag of sashes. She has learned this discipline of how to organize and structure her time and her tasks. It's all in the context of making sure her family is well supplied and cared for. All that business, all that activity, all that work that she does is done for her husband and her family. And God has given you this massive privilege and responsibility of pouring into your home. She's pouring into her husband and her children, and she's making her home a place of ministry in everything that she does. And here's what I want to emphasize. I want you to understand that the work you do is spiritual work. The world is going to tell you that this sounds old-fashioned and demeaning. However, God's word says that it is not. It's consistent with what God wants you to do, and here's why. Because in the midst of all that, you're serving your husband so he can do what God has called him to do, and you're pouring into the next generation, and you're preaching the gospel to unbelievers in your home. And you're creating for them a worldview that's consistent with Christ and what he expects them to be. By training your kids, you're shaping the mindset of the next generation. You're preparing to launch your children into the world to make a difference for Christ, and that is not demeaning. That's important, and that's eternal. So don't let culture whisper in your ear and make you question your role, because you're doing real ministry work. And with that, you must understand something, that is that the priority must be your home. It must be your home. It has to be your home, period. The Bible makes it clear that your home must be your priority. It doesn't mean that you have to have this inferior, empty life. Proverbs 31 doesn't paint a picture of an inferior woman. This woman is a woman that's intelligent, and she works hard. She's a woman who prioritizes her home above everything else. Excellent wives do what they have to do to care for their home. Now, let me say one more thing before I move on. And please listen carefully, because this is so important, and I don't want you to misunderstand what I've been saying. Does it mean that a woman cannot work outside the home? No, it doesn't mean that at all. You can't prove that from Proverbs 31 or Titus 2 or anywhere else in Scripture. My daughters have college degrees, and they work. Working outside a home is an issue that a husband and wife must work through together to make decisions that's best for their family. So the issue is not whether you work outside your home or not. The issue is whether your heart is for your home and all that goes into your home. That's the issue. It's not a sin to work outside your home. It is a sin not to have a heart for your home. That's what Proverbs 31 is teaching. Where is your heart? Do you have a heart for your home in all that you do? Number three is her personal life. Verse 25 says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. To be clothed with means to demonstrate it. The excellent wife demonstrates strength and dignity. We have seen how she prepares for the future. When she laughs at the future, she's not arrogant. Rather, suggests confidence and a sense of calm. The prepared and organized excellent wife does not feel panic about the future. She's extremely confident. And what gives her this confidence is that she relies entirely on God and his wisdom, which allows her to laugh at the future. My kids and I can always tell where Elaine's at by her laugh. It's her homing device. But it demonstrates not only her joy, but her confidence in the Lord. Her laugh demonstrates that she's not concerned about the future. In verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. When she speaks kindly. Her words are edifying and spill forth from her heart that's kind and compassionate. She speaks kindly to her husband and to her kids. She's not demeaning or harsh or impatient. She's not inconsiderate or unkind. The Bible says in Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see the virtuous woman that in her heart is that of a godly, wise, and kind woman. So when she opens her mouth, wisdom and kindness are on her tongue. Paul tells us in Galatians 5:22 that one of the fruits of the Spirit is kindness. Kindness is lacking in our day. Abrasiveness, harshness, contentiousness, overbearing, pushiness, these are all characteristics of speech in our day. Now, recently, we were driving through Biloxi, Mississippi, and we saw this billboard. In this billboard, we have Dolly Parton reminding us to be kind. I liked it, but it's always good to be reminded. But I travel back and forth to Manhattan every day, and I see so many stickers and T-shirts and buttons that remind me to be kind. But this woman doesn't need a reminder. She already is kind. She already is kind because her heart is fixed on God. Where is your heart? Notice verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not idle. She's not lazy. She works hard, and these are all character issues. Speech, hard work, wisdom, kindness that comes from your mouth are all evidences of a woman with godly character. Number four is her family life. Notice how her kids and her husband appreciate her. Verse 28 and 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. The most precious and encouraging words come from your children and your husband. Notice that it does not say her boss rises up and calls her blessed, or her neighbors rise up and call her blessed. It is her family. It's her children and her husband. This kind of woman receives the best gift that any mom or wife could receive, the affirmation of her children and her husband. Her children recognize all that she does in their home. They recognize how she directs their heart and points them to Christ. They recognize how she models godliness in her interactions. The children recognize these things, and they grasp the incredible privilege of having a mom like that. And they thank her, and they say, "We are so blessed to have you as a mom." They appreciate her and the work that she does. So, do you have a mom like that? Have you thanked your mom for all that she's done, the way that she's poured her life into you, and the way she's taught you and pointed you to Christ? And men, lead by example to your kids in frequent open praise of your wife in public and in private. A man who is married to a woman like this understands the precious jewel that he has. He knows that she is a gift, and he thanks her, and he praises her exceedingly, and he says, "You excel them all." She's a woman of excellence. She recognizes it. She recognizes it. He acknowledges it. He's a husband who affirms her and praises her exceedingly because of all that she does and all that she is. So men, encourage your wife, because the world is not going to encourage her. If she has a heart like this, she needs to hear it from you. She needs to hear about how you appreciate the work that she is doing, the ways that she's pouring into your family, the ways that she trains and teaches your kids, the ways that she devotes her time to the most important ministry, her home. We need to be the ones who say thank you. So husbands, does your wife embody these characteristics? When's the last time you said thank you? When's the last time you said to her face, "I am so blessed to be married to you. I'm a better man because of you. Our home is better because of you. Our family is better because of you." If it's been a while since you had this conversation, then it's long overdue. Express your gratitude toward your wife. I am married to a woman like that. Thank you. Thank you, Elaine, for pouring into our family and pouring into my life. You make me a better husband and a better family because of you. You made it precious to me. Finally, verse 30. Verse 30 tells us why she is what she is, that secret ingredient, that special sauce that makes her the Proverbs 31 woman. It's an excellent wife. Number 5 is her spiritual life. Why is she this kind of woman? Do you want to know what goes into making her this kind of woman? It's not that she's a Wonder Woman, and it's not that she's some extraordinary supermom who has it all figured out. How you become a virtuous woman or an excellent wife? The answer is revealed in these last two verses. Verse 30 tells us why she is what she is. Listen carefully. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. There it is right there. That's what makes this Proverbs 31 woman who she is. That's what makes her more precious than jewels. That's the key. It's her spiritual life. This verse identifies the foundational virtue which makes her this woman. Verse 30, it says, charm is deceitful. That word for charm in the Hebrew is a very broad word and basically points to all the things that you can acquire by way of demeanor, external behavior, and reactions. These are the things you can acquire to make yourself a pleasant person. He says they are deceitful. They may promise a virtue of heart, and all the while, he is being deceived. Then King Lemuel says, beauty is vain. It's fleeting. It's a passing thing. You see, if you have a pretty face and a beautiful figure, it's only the result of a sovereign act of God in a millisecond at your conception when God formed you. Now think about how silly it is to be proud of your looks. The Hebrew word here for vain is the same word that Solomon uses in Ecclesiastes, that all is vanity. It's steam on a cup of coffee. It's there for a moment and evaporates. It's a vapor. That's what beauty ultimately is. It's fleeting. You become what God calls an excellent wife by fearing the Lord. It's not about working hard to be a virtuous woman. It's about Christ living in you to make you more like him. This is the foundational virtue of this woman worthy of praise as a wife, mother, and homemaker. It was her fear of God that laid the foundation of all the other virtues. That saving relationship through Jesus Christ that produced in all who come to him by faith, this mindset in which God is our greatest desire and delight. Her fear of the Lord was the root of what this woman became. So the key to how to be this woman isn't by following all the examples set forth in verses 10 through verse 29. And if I were to preach to you today that all you need to do is follow her example, then I would be totally missing the point of this passage, and I would be totally missing the point of the gospel. This woman is the kind of woman who made her spiritual life a priority. And above all, she is a woman after God's own heart. Proverbs 31, virtuous woman, excellent woman, is a woman who fears the Lord. Remember how this book began, and notice how it ends. It begins in chapter 9 with a statement that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it ends with an illustration of a woman who is fearing the Lord. And she does it all because Christ is in control of her life. That's the excellent wife. Verse 31, give her the fruits of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Everyone knows a virtuous woman when they see one. Her actions speak loud and clear. When God is present on the inside, it's going to come out every day in every way. How you treat your husband, how you treat your kids, how you approach work, everything about you, your speech, your actions, all of that's going to be directed by your relationship with the Lord. Where is your heart? Now, I want to give you a few practical applications today. Number 1, a word to young girls and single women. These godly virtues did not just drop out of heaven and take up residence in this woman on her wedding day. They were cultivated during her childhood and during her youth, with a central theme that the fear of the Lord is her primary virtue. Each of these virtues became the conscious and constant focus of her development, so that when she comes to her wedding day, these virtues are already living in her heart. Listen, young ladies, a godly man is not going to pursue you for your charm, which is deceiving, and beauty, which is fleeting. He's going to attempt with all of his power to look beyond your beauty and see if you're made of the stuff on the inside. That's what he's going to be looking for. Learn to dress in such a way, though not frumpy, is not a magnet for men's eyes, or you're going to get what that magnet is attracting. It could be your greatest snare. Now, I'm talking to you like a dad now. I'm talking to you like I would talk to my own daughters. I want to spare you from entering into relationships where men seek you out for your beauty because you've done all you could to enhance your features. Don't be proud of your beauty, but don't be ashamed of it either. Number two, I have a word for young men and single men. For you, these are the virtues that will make you a happy and content, God-glorifying head of household. Pray and ask God to give you eyes that are clear to see these virtues that King Lemuel's mom taught him, and see through charm and beauty, which are deceiving and fleeting. Young men, you may be thinking, all right, old man, he probably doesn't remember what it's like. Now, I can guarantee you I've forgotten a lot of things in this world. But there's one thing I have never forgotten. When I first met my wife, when I first laid eyes on Elaine, my first thing that popped in my head is, man, she's hot. Yes, Sierra. I call your mom hot. She was beautiful. She attracted my attention. Now, she wasn't parading around her hotness, and she wasn't parading around her beauty and dressing in such a way to attract my eyes, but she was beautiful to me. And then I saw beneath her good looks and her beauty and her hotness, and I saw something amazing. I saw her virtue. I saw how she loved the Lord. I saw how she cared for her kids and her family. And after 25 years, we know by experience that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. The weight goes on, the wrinkles come, the hair turns gray, and it's only so long that Clairol can hide it all. So hear me now. Pray that God will give you eyes clear to see these virtues. Some of them cannot be fully known until you're married, but these are things that need to be your filter through which you pass your assessment of any woman you're contemplating and setting your eyes and setting your heart upon. If you find a woman who places her priorities on charm and beauty, keep searching, because she is not the one for you. Because she's not given herself to the biblical picture of what womanhood is all about. Number three. And before I get to number three, just as a side note, this was illustration. Lane, you're still hot. Not was. Number three, a word to married couples. Married women, where is your heart? Like the virtuous woman, keep the marriage bed attractive and welcoming to her husband. Prepare and plan for intimacy. Intimacy is God's idea. It's his gift to us. Also, dress and look good for him. And for some of you men, that may mean handing over your wallet and letting her buy some new clothes so she can look good for you. Married men, when your wife is feeling discouraged and all alone, build her up with genuine, heartfelt praise and encouragement. Speak words that will strengthen her. Nothing could be simpler for you to do than offer words of praise and encouragement. She has sacrificed so much for you. Praise and encourage her often. And you'll see this example throughout the Song of Solomon. They did it in public and in private. Number four, a word to mothers and fathers. What are you supposed to teach your daughters? The wisdom of Lemuel's mother. These are the things that as parents are important part of nurturing. Fathers, encourage your daughters to develop these virtues. Work with them in the cultivation of these virtues. Go over them again and again and again. Moms, emulate these virtues for this woman, for your daughters to see. Teaching these virtues are like stalactites and stalagmites. One drop at a time. They don't show up out of nowhere. And you don't do it by sitting with your kids and watching TV. And you don't do it by running from this activity to that activity. And you don't do it by buying them more stuff. They need you in their lives. It's painstaking, hands-on character development. Parenting is real ministry work. Your number one ministry that God has given you is your family and your children. And by the grace of God, when my children leave my home, Elaine will have exemplified these virtues as a wife, mother, and homemaker. And my daughters will be able to say when they hear a sermon like this 20 years from now, that's what my mother was like. This is your legacy to your children. Number five, then I have a word for some of you sitting here today saying, I never had this growing up. Maybe your mother was a busybody and your father was a couch potato. Maybe there's no communication, let alone communication about the virtues of godly woman. What do you do? Are you destined to be lazy because you were never made to develop these virtues? Are you destined for the rest of your life to be sharp with your tongue because you didn't have a mother whose mouth was full of wisdom and kindness? No, you are not. Remember Titus chapter 2. Paul told Titus, I want you to tell the older women to put your arm around younger women and to train them by example and teaching them what good mothers, good wives, and godly women should be. There's hope for you if you stop excusing your character because of the inadequacy of your background. Some of you are never going to have these characteristics of this woman until you stop making excuses that I never had this growing up. Look around you today in this congregation. There are godly women all around you this morning that by example and instruction can help you. Finally, let me wrap this up. God makes it clear what he values most isn't a woman's numerous abilities, but a heart that is fully his. It depends on neither her accomplishments nor her ability to be a superwoman. Where is your heart? Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. There is honor for every woman who humbly walks with God. All the other virtues draw life from this fundamental and foundational virtue. So let us all ignore our culture and remember there's nothing more important and more honorable, more praiseworthy in this world than a woman who devotes herself to her home and her family. I can't begin to tell you the respect I have for Elaine, who gives herself for our family, who has poured herself into our family. And there's people that have come up to her and asked, don't you regret staying at home and not working? Let me tell you something this morning. Elaine has raised and trained ambassadors for Christ. And there's nothing else that is more important and more rewarding than that. Elaine has no regrets about pouring her life into her family. And when our kids leave, as they will do in the next few months, I will not be staying up at night worrying about what they're up to, because I know that whatever they're doing is going to be about the gospel. It's a great honor to be married to an excellent wife, and it's a great honor to be a kid of an excellent mom. Husbands, kids, make sure you honor her today and rise up and call her blessed. Give her the honor she has earned through living out the gospel. Now, before we leave today, there's one final application that I am compelled to provide for you. It's amazing how the Bible uses marriage to paint a picture of who Christ is and what Christ has done for us. Remember, one of the purposes of marriage is to paint a portrait of the gospel. We have to be careful not to turn this Proverbs 31 woman into an idol. No matter how virtuous and how excellent a wife she is, she is a sinner. She is imperfect. If you're looking for the perfect wife or the perfect husband, you're going to be looking for a very, very long time because you'll never find them. We are all flawed. We are all sinful. But maybe that's one of the purposes of marriage, is put us imperfect people together to demonstrate forgiveness and to demonstrate love and that resembles the gospel. To teach us husbands to love unconditionally as Christ loves his church, his bride, and gave himself up for her. there's a larger picture to be seen here. There's a message in this passage that's not just for the women of this world, but also a message for the church. One final point. We are the bride of Christ. Listen to this description again. But instead of thinking of one person fulfilling all these qualities, think about the role of North Shore Baptist Church. An excellent wife, who can find the bride of Christ that seeks to give all praise and glory to her Lord? Christ, her husband, trusts in her, for the church brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. The church works with willing and eager hands, providing food for her family, the family of God. The church goes about working vigorously. Her arms are strong for the task, and her lamp does not go out at night. The bride of Christ opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she speaks with wisdom, and the instruction of kindness is on her tongue. Many organizations do excellent things, but his church surpasses them all. We, the church, are to be a people united and working for the glory and praise of our bridegroom. We, as a bride of Christ, are to be less concerned of what the world thinks and more concerned of living an excellent life according to the gospel. Success for the church is not about charming sermons and a beautiful building, but it's rooted in the gospel. Are we, as a bride of Christ, living up to the calling of being the excellent and virtuous bride of Christ? Are we being virtuous in our work to which we have been called, the work of spreading the gospel of Christ to the world near and far? The work of caring for one another in the body. Are we clothed with strength and dignity? Are we speaking with wisdom and kindness? Success of the church, much like the success of the excellent wife, is not measured by vanity and outward appearances, but rather the success of our church is measured by how well we live out these values. The bride of Christ is called to be the excellent wife in Proverbs 31. We are to be the embodiment of noble character in this world. North Shore Baptist Church, above all other institutions, we are to be honest and trustworthy, filled with mercy and grace, welcoming of all people, and putting the gospel of Jesus Christ above everything else. May we seek to be noble. May we strive to be virtuous. May we live all our days giving glory and praise to God. We at North Shore Baptist Church are called to be the excellent bride. So, North Shore Baptist Church, where is your heart? Amen, and let's pray. Father, as we leave today, we speak to us clearly and powerfully through your word. Convict us and change us. And I pray for our families, protect our families from our culture. And we pray for strength and energy to live out these virtues and to put our families and the gospel above everything else. Help us to raise children who understand and live out the gospel. Help us to love and care for each other more. Help us husbands to love our wives. Create in us a desire to be more like you. As a bride of Christ, help us to be faithful to you and the gospel. In Christ, in your beautiful name, we pray. Amen.